Lord laid this in my heart Monday morning before I left to preach revival. I told Renee last night, the Lord wanted me to preach this at our church here this morning. Now I want to ask you this, whether you're young or old. We must all realize this, we're all going to meet God one day. And when we do, we must be saved by the grace of God. There's one way to heaven. He is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord seemed fit to write in a parable in Luke 14. He starts in verse 16. Well, preacher, what is a parable? A parable is a simple story that teaches a moral lesson. A parable, just a simple story that teaches a moral lesson. So here the Lord uses this parable. Then he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. What a great opportunity. Sent his servant. That's what I desire to be more in my life than any day I've ever lived. Just a servant. God, do what you tell me to do when you tell me to do it. And his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, watch what he says, come. Isn't that so simple? Come, for all things are now ready. Come, for all things are now ready. They all with one consent begin to make excuse. The first said to him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of ox. I go to pray them, to prove them. And look what he says, I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, therefore I cannot come. He answered different. 2 said, Lord, I want you to excuse me. The third one said, I'm not coming. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Now watch your Bible. Then said to his servant, or watch this. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. I want to tell you, there's still room this morning. There'll always be room for you at the feet of Jesus. Nobody's going to crowd you out of that place. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. God loves the house to be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which are bidden shall taste of my supper. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. I pray now you'd do what only the Word of God can do this morning. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to preach this morning out of the parable of this great supper. I want you to notice, first of all, and I won't preach long, so please try to listen carefully today. Within this passage of the great supper, there was a careful preparation. A careful preparation. He said unto him, a certain man made a great supper. Made many. Careful preparation. This supper had been preparing a long time. From the beginning in the garden with Adam and Eve, when they sinned, mankind was plunged into depravity. We all became sinners. We run our family tree far as we want to, but it Every one of our tree goes back to the garden, to Adam and Eve, where they sinned against God and they received a sinful nature. That's why the Bible says you must be born again. We were born wrong the first time, so we must be born right the second time. Born again. There was a careful preparation. Now, I want you to know this supper had been preparing a long time. All the way back from the garden. When the devil was so subtle, he deceived Eve. Had her take of the fruit of the tree. Adam, he gave in to the words of his wife. He ate also. They became sinners. God killed an animal and clothed them with a coat of skin. The first time the blood was shed in the Bible. Aren't you glad it's still the blood that saves men, women, boys, and girls? I don't care what any liberals say today. This bloody theology, honey, without the blood of Jesus, we all die and go to hell in our sin. But I'm glad on bloody Calvary there God gave His Son to die for sinners in this day and this hour. This supper had been preparing a very long time. Genesis 22, God spoke to Abraham, the father of our faith. Told him to take his son Isaac up on Mount Moriah and there offer him as a sacrifice. As Abraham and Isaac was going up that mount, he looked at his father Abraham and he said, "Father, I see the wood and the fire, but where's the lamb?" And God said, "God Himself will be a lamb." I'm glad that God loved us enough that He gave us His Son. Then we go all the way through the law of Moses. Moses led the children of Israel. Led them from Pharaoh's bondage. God sent him on Mount Sinai. There for 40 days he received the law of God. When Moses was coming back to the people, he broke those tables of stone and he broke the law of God and reminds him of this morning. There's nothing wrong with the law of God for it is perfect. But man cannot keep the law of God. You cannot work your way. You can't give your way. You can't be good enough to get to heaven. There's no man that can keep the law. Preaching on this salt of a careful preparation, a great supper. He illuminates that in our text. That's why I love the King James Bible and its originality. It was a great supper and bade many. God had been preparing this supper for many, many years. God decided to bring this supper to a climax and He sent His Son to Calvary to pay the price for mankind. In Romans chapter number 3 today, I want you to hold your place in the text and go with us to Romans chapter number 3. I want you to look in Paul's writings in verse number 9. He said this about the law. Romans chapter number 3, verse number 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. How does the world become guilty before God with the giving of the law? Because no man can keep the law. He says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. When we look at those 10 commandments that are still right, that's been cast out of our nation, that God set them forth to make us realize there is a law of God. It's still right to live by the 10 commandments. But we all can't keep them because we are sinners. Something about law, man wants to break law. If you have a 50 mile an hour speed zone and signs are posted, you think, well, I can run 65 and not get a ticket. Man tries to push the boundaries of the law. Paul says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. We must be saved by the grace of God. For all have sinned and come short being justified. That's a legal term. Being justified freely, look, by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So therefore, in this parable, it was a careful preparation. God made this great supper to satisfy a law. God made this great supper to satisfy a lack. We could not keep the law. But God made this great supper of His Son to not only satisfy a law, satisfy a lack, but to satisfy a love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God loved us, and by this great supper, by Him sending His Son on Calvary's tree, is the only way He could get us to Him. That's an amazing thing this morning. God did not give out of the abundance that He had. God did not have three sons. He had one, and He gave the only one that He had. You'll notice when they rejected the gospel call, God became angry. You don't hear that in our nation much anymore. Can I tell you, we've got a God that sometimes becomes angry. We've lost the fear of God in our nation. Men do that which is right in their own eyes. So therefore, there was a careful preparation. I'm glad He made a great supper. Now I'm glad I've been able to eat around His table the goodness of the grace of God in this parable. You'll notice in verse 16 a careful preparation. But in verse 17, there's a current invitation. He sent His servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Now ready. Sent His servant out to say, come. That's one of the greatest words in our Bible. He did not say, go, but He said, come. When Adam went into the ark for the first time, you'll notice in your Bible, the book of Genesis, the great rain came. Everybody laughed at Noah. Noah prepared that ark for 120 years. Could you imagine the heckles that Noah received? It had never rained. God told him to build an ark. He got busy doing what God told him to do. And all of a sudden the rain came. God said this word, come, thou, and all of those with you into the ark. God didn't say go, God said come. God was on the inside. I'm glad God's on the inside this morning. I'm glad He's not telling sinners to go. This world's telling people to go. Society saying go, but Jesus is saying come, come, that you may have life and have life more abundantly this morning. today within this parable text. There's a careful preparation. There's a current invitation. Look at the diligency of it. Come. Look at the sufficiency of it for all things. Look at the urgency of it. It is now ready. Now ready. You see, there are decisions to be made when it's decision-making time. You must respond to God while He's dealing with your heart by an invitation. The Bible says the Spirit of God would not always strive with man. God dealing with your heart to be saved, you ought to thank Him this morning that He's still dealing with your heart. The Bible says, no man comes to the Father except the one I've sent Him draw him. You'll not get saved on your own pace. You'll not get saved on your opportunity. You'll get saved when God gives you the opportunity. A current invitation. Boy, aren't you glad that invitation still goes out this morning? Come. You know, I was thinking about what happened here last Sunday, and I want to read this in John 6, 35 about this diligently, the sufficiency and the urgency. All things are now ready. Look with me in John 6 and 35 today. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Here's our phrase, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Sounds like a great supper to me. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him, watch, here's the balance. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's room for you this morning. He said, if you would come, he would not cast you out. He said in verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Isn't that amazing? It was God's plan to send His Son. The Lord Jesus obeyed the will of the Father. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The current invitation. I'm thankful one day that God gave me an invitation and I responded by faith. Have you ever responded to God's great invitation about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? The parable of the Great Supper. You'll notice there was a careful preparation. There was also a current invitation. But thirdly, look in verse 18. There's a consenting situation. A consenting situation. Verse 18. And they all with, here's our word, with one consent. You know what that word simply means in the Greek this morning? It means to say jointly. We are agreeing together. They consented to jointly agree. So in this text, we see this consenting situation. They all with one consent begin to make excuse. I want to say something about an excuse right there. We all have excuses. One of the greatest terms I've ever heard about an excuse simply says this. Excuses are the crutches of the uncommitted. Excuses are the crutches of the uncommitted. They began to make excuse. Look what they said. The first said, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go see it, and I pray thee, have me excused. Could we look, first of all, on this consenting situation? We see the demands of the farm. He used his property, his farm, to make an excuse for God. He did say, have me excused. But it didn't work. And then you'll notice there is the demands of the farm. But secondly, look at the dangers of finances. Look what the second one said in verse 20. And another said, or in verse 19, and another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. There we see the demands of the farm, but now we see the dangers of the finances. The Bible simply says that one had bought a piece of ground, and the other one he'd bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. Be careful on the dangers of finances. When God starts blessing you, He's never blessed me and you to take it away from Him, but He's always blessed us that it may take us to Him. Our culture is so blessed. The people in our church is so blessed. God, you'll start to serve God. You'll do as the Bible says, walk with Him. God begins to bless you. And if you're not careful, the dangers of finance will redirect you. It will make you start getting the cart before the horse. The Bible still says in Matthew 5:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God loves to bless His people. But God wants us to realize where our blessings come from this morning. So we see in this text, there's the demands of the farm. There's the dangers of the finances. But then thirdly and lastly, there's the demise of the family. Look what this individual says with this excuse. And another said, I've married a wife. Therefore, I cannot come. He didn't ask him to be excused. I asked y'all this just as a country preacher. Why didn't he take his wife with him? I hear people say all the time, we got company coming in. We can't be at church. Won't you bring company with you? Excuses. The crutches of the uncommitted. God help me to stay committed. The demands of the farm. The dangers of finance. But the demise of the family. I've married a wife. And I cannot come. So there's a careful preparation. A current invitation. A consenting situation. But now look in verse 21. Look at this considering illustration. I'm about done preaching. Considering illustration. Something really grabbed my heart Monday morning before I left when I was reading this text. Brother Adam, Brother Jamie, Brother Mike, I'd never seen this. Brother Philip, I'd never seen this on the pages of my Bible. I want to share it with you and close this sermon. Look in verse 18. Underline this. The Bible says, and the first said. Then in verse 19, the Bible says, another said. Then in verse 20, the same phrase, another said. But now it changes. Look in 22. And the servant said. The last time the quote is mentioned, in verse 23, now it's what the Lord said. So it says, the first said, another said, another said, the servant said, but the Lord said. Let's see what He said. Verse 24, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of My supper. To me, there's a critical proclamation. A great privilege, but a great peril. A great privilege, but a great peril. For in this critical proclamation, the Lord said in verse 24, I say unto you that none of those men which are bidden shall taste of My supper. What a great privilege, but what a great peril. There was danger, there was a decision, and then there was destruction. In Matthew's gospel, there is the parallel to this parable. The only other time it's mentioned, the Bible said they shall be cast into fire. So you don't believe in hell. God does. The one died and got there last night. They do. What a danger. I've said this a few times, but my heart goes to this. I want Miss Sherry to come to the instrument if she would. I was preaching in Muscadine, Alabama, nearly 30 years ago. Some of you in the early startings of Liberty, you went with me to that meeting. You go over a railroad track, a little church sits there in a low place. It had wood doors on the back that opened on a little porch, flat. People had chairs out there. The building wouldn't even hold them in them days. There was a lady sat on the back. I'll never forget this. She was a dark-headed lady. She had on a white blouse. God had saved several there at that meeting. And I'll never forget this long as I live. As many invitations as I've given, this stands out to me one of the strongest I've ever seen. I gave an invitation. Now, I don't look at people. I really don't. But God had me to look at this lady. Brother Gary, she was weeping. She had her white blouse. The makeup had run off of it. It was unbelievable how she was weeping. And she had the pew and she was just totally shaking the pew. And I gave an invitation, maybe two or three more verses specifically to that lady. Would you just come? I can't come to you, but you can come. As far as I know, she never got saved. I believe with all my heart God was dealing with her that night. Like God's dealing with some of you this morning. God's just not giving me this text to preach. God wanted this text preached here this morning. I want to tell you this, Jesus loves you. And I don't care what you've done or how long you've been doing it. The blood of Jesus can wash you clean. Brother Dwayne said something in prayer room today about an awful sin. But the blood of Jesus, as he said, and I agree, can wash you clean of that. Would you come?